Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. I have become a huge fangirl of the WNBA, or the W as it's now called. I love the athleticism, the strategy, and I love the game of basketball. This week I saw a clip of something that has continued to trouble me. I want to say I'm not naive. I know tempers flare and opponents get heated in basketball. I know there's a lot at stake in these games. Pride, just all kinds of stuff is at stake. You know, what your city thinks about you, money. Everybody came to win. Nobody wants to go home the loser. But I saw an act of aggression this week, and it surprised me and it sickened me. A veteran essentially clotheslined, meaning got her by the neck and knocked her to her feet with one swat, a rookie player. It was obvious it was not an accident. It was not a heat of the play action. It was an act of aggression. It was a foul two. That's what they call it in the W. It was so egregious that the veteran was thrown from the game, as well she should have been. And I also think she should have been fined and suspended, but nobody at the W asked Joanne Smichael what she thinks. Here's what impressed me about the victim, and I do feel like she was a victim. She took the high road, and in her social media feed and in an interview, she said, "They're not supposed to be nice to me or lay down because I'm a rookie." She thanked the veteran for sending her a message that helped her to get up and keep pushing. She said there were no hard feelings. She thanked her teammates for their encouragement to get back in the game and not to be defeated or demoralized. Her response was so gracious, it earned her a fan in Joanne Smichael. Watching that incident struck me because it was such a flagrant foul. And I asked myself, what about sportsmanship? What about being gracious in wins and losses? So what we're talking about, or what I'm going to talk about, is healthy competition, not just in the context of the WNBA, but in the context of business in the world and life. What is it? It's an interaction that encourages everybody to reach their highest potential, to strive for even higher achievements. The thing that's interesting about healthy competition is that it creates an environment where everybody's encouraged to bring their A game and to succeed. In the workplace, it allows and encourages people to be their personal best and to set stretch goals. I think that it can actually improve collaboration. Healthy competition encourages innovation, new ideas, different approaches. It allows and it encourages full engagement. It really isn't about besting someone or beating someone. Rivalries are healthy. They're still rivalries, but they can be healthy and they can be fun. I was on the board of a nonprofit that used to host a jazz event every year. One of the other board members, Sue, we had this personal challenge on who could sell the most tickets, who's going to fill the most tables. We knew that our little competition benefited the nonprofit, so we would hustle those tickets and keep each other abreast of who was selling how many. In the end, we'd congratulate each other, have a glass of wine, celebrate the success of the fundraiser. It really didn't matter who sold the most tickets as long as we were both striving to sell out the venue. The same can happen in business. The same can be true in business. Departments can have healthy rivalries. They can be competitive. They can be serious about outcomes and deliverables without being cutthroat. And they can and should do this because they know that they're all in the same boat and want the company to thrive. Now, I have a few tips for promoting healthy competition at work. First, remember, it's work. It is not life or death for you. It's a job. It's not your whole identity. Keep it all in perspective. Next one is get in the habit of encouraging other people. Tout their successes, not just your own or not just your team's. Congratulate people on their record-breaking accomplishments. Celebrate every victory, and that means everyone's victories. It's also real important to focus on growth. When you put energy into learning, experiencing, inventing, growing, what you're doing is bettering yourself. And you're not bettering yourself at the cost to someone else. You're also not bettering yourself specifically to beat someone else. Of course, you may experience a few victories, a few more victories. The goal is really growth. The goal is personal expansion for personal satisfaction. So what else can we do to promote healthy competition? Be nice. Be nice when you win. Be nice when you lose. Just be nice. I play pickleball at my local Y, and I am amazed at the wonderful camaraderie and kindness of 98% of the players. We congratulate whether we win or not. We have fun in the games. We encourage even the worst players, and I used to be one of those worst players. Some might say I still am, but I'm in the game and I'm playing. I will tell you, I'm also amazed by that 2% who are confused and they think that they're playing in the Pickleball Olympics. There is no Pickleball Olympics at the Dancel Y. And these are jerks. They huff and they puff when their partners miss a serve or mess up a return of serve. These are jerks who refuse to play with people who they think are less skilled than them. I have been on the receiving end of that behavior, and I can tell you, even as an adult woman, an accomplished person, it doesn't feel good. It's very hurtful. That kind of unhealthy competition can shake another person's confidence and just make them feel bad. And I'm telling you this from firsthand experience. I have been the pickleball player that someone refused to play with because I wasn't as good as them. So be nice and remember, it's not the Pickleball Olympics. You know, neither sore losers nor obnoxious winners are attractive. So a little humility goes a long way. Another thing we can do to promote healthy competition is to understand when it's a competition and when it's supposed to be a collaboration. It's frustrating when people who are on the same team or work group try to outdo, outshine, or outsmart each other. If you're on the same team, act like it. Support, don't sabotage. If you got to make yourself look good at somebody else's expense, there's a problem, and the problem is you. I think some of the unhealthy competitions on teams comes when there are no ground rules or no norms. It's important for team leaders to determine and decide and articulate what's expected, what will and will not be tolerated, and what kinds of interactions are acceptable. That kind of boundary setting helps them set the stage for healthy competition. So there are some other things that leaders can do to spark healthy competition. One, focus on collective wins, meaning it's not a one-on-one competition. It's a team striving for team success. Yep. They're going to be personal bests, and we're going to acknowledge them and celebrate them. But the emphasis is on us, the collective, the collaborators. Another really good leadership strategy is to create a culture of dialogue where people can share their frustrations with their failures. What this does is create an environment where everyone is humble and where people get to learn from each other's mistakes. And this eliminates any stigma attached to failing. It creates a learning environment where the team isn't overly obsessed with winning at all costs. Feedback and goals are the last leadership strategy I want to talk about. People, individually, and teams, collectively, need to know when they're excelling. They also need to know when they're not measuring up. Honest, unbiased feedback enhances healthy competition because people and teams can assess their individual strengths and weaknesses. I'm not talking about a comparison to others. Rather, I'm talking about giving employees data to benchmark themselves against themselves. It's about how the individual is performing, not about whether an individual is better than their peer. Goals. They need to be clear. They need to be quantifiable. They need to be flexible enough to be functional. Unrealistic goals produce frustration. Goals also need to be in alignment with the competencies available. Having goals that match the skill sets of the people on the team is important. If you don't have that, you're creating frustration and an overall unhealthy environment. Now, I guess what I'm saying is this, that it's more important that the environment overall be healthy and spark healthy competition. I guess this really isn't, that piece really isn't about healthy competition. That really was about leadership, what I was just talking about. But anyway, it was worth talking about. I want to very briefly address the things to do to avoid unhealthy competition. First thing is promote ethical practices. Do not tolerate white lies, sabotage, backstabbing, gossip, triangular communication. Enforce sanctions for behavior that's antithetical to high ethical standards. Second, do not pit employees against each other. Establish a norm that honors everyone's unique gifts and talents. Create an environment where people are welcome just as they are. Third thing is don't diminish confidence, bolster it. Rather than focusing on each person's weaknesses or deficits, direct your energy to focusing on gifts. This builds better relationships between you, the leader, and the team. It also models the kind of behavior characteristics of healthy competition. You know, fostering and maintaining healthy competition means prioritizing a culture of mutual respect, mutual support, and mutual admiration. I know this might sound kind of pie in the sky, but it's not. It doesn't have to be. Skilled leaders with committed teams can make this happen. Remember, healthy competition begins by competing with yourself, growing yourself, and celebrating yourself. Then it can spread to the relationships that you have with others. It isn't necessary to diminish others or to think that you have to win and everybody else has to lose. Don't let competitiveness or overcompetitiveness impede your progress. Shift your impulses so that you can focus on being your best without worrying about others. Sometimes people will say to me, "How do you feel about the competition in the speaking market and in the consulting world?" And I always say, "I don't have competition. I just compete with Joanne. I don't worry about what other people are doing. I don't worry about the contracts that they get. I just don't have the energy to worry about that. My competition is in being my best self. My very best self." You know, when you can think of others, think of ways to bolster their confidence and to support their growth. It is okay to support other people's wins. In fact, it's a real good thing. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichel Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.